You bow your heads. Let's pray. Dear Father, I love you and I thank you. I pray that today we would behold the wonders of Jesus Christ, that we would see him as he is, beautiful, magnificent, wonderful, and that all that who he is would impact the way we live. And life would be lived from the great truths of what he accomplished for us on the cross. Let the truths of Christ and what he accomplished on the cross make its way and be accomplished within us. Father, today is a day we need to hear about mercy again. We need to hear about grace again, because it draws us nearer and it keeps us closer to you more and more. Bless us, I pray. Help every individual in this room today, wherever they are, you and only you can speak to their specific need. They don't need to hear a preacher. They don't need to hear a pastor. They need to hear from the living God, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you touch our hearts. And we wouldn't just have an emotional moment, but rather we would have a moment that reminds us, great is the Lord, who is greatly to be praised. And I pray that we walk out reminding our hearts, Jesus is enough. Bless us, I pray. Help us, I pray. It's in your son's perfect and wonderful name. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, good morning, Christ Church. How we feeling? Good to see you guys again. You all look great. My name is Javon. I get the opportunity to preach today. They said they need a preacher, so I came out and preached. And I get the opportunity to serve as one of the pastors here on staff at our Christ Church at our old Brooklyn campus. And as Sierra said, we have so much good that is happening within our campus. Can we just thank God for all of our wonderful volunteers again? Those who serve in an amazing way. We had people here yesterday doing blanket tying. Our good friend Carmen and the crew were hanging out, and our food distribution. Man, there's just so much good happening. People are literally saying, listen, I want to be an impact in our community the best way possible to represent and to demonstrate the heart of Jesus Christ. So I just want to say thank you to all of you guys. So many ways to get involved. So many ways to get connected. If that's you, make sure you stop at our Connection Center, and we will take care of you. Today, if you're just joining us, we've been in this series through the book of Ephesians. And if you're brand new to church, it's a New Testament letter that is found in the Bible. And we've been walking in this this particular book really for one purpose and one purpose only, to behold Jesus Christ, to see Jesus for how wonderful as he is. Right? I believe the greatest need and the greatest longing of the human heart is to connect with Christ, right? It's to know him. And what we're going to read today and what we're going to see throughout this whole entire series is that it wants us to be rooted in this one thing about God, and that God is merciful. And that God is merciful. And we're going to talk about that again and again, over and over. We're going to land a plane in a few different ways of how that applies to our lives as well. Well, my kids are at summer break. Can't wait for them to go back to school, guys. I just can't wait. I'm just counting down the days. But, you know, ever since they've been out of school, we have to do some at-home work with them, right? We have to do some homework with them. And, you know, that means that they can't just watch YouTube all day. They got to, you know, learn. So I'm trying to teach my kid math. And he's been learning the basics, the foundation, adding and subtracting. And you know, for me, if I want to teach my kid, I just turn on YouTube. And I just look up a video and say, teach my kid. But you know, he started learning, adding and subtracting. And one day, he's like, Dad, like, this is pretty good. I'm like, great, you know, that's awesome. He's like, can you teach me algebra now? I'm like, first of all, that's for your mother. I don't know anything about algebra, okay? But I'm like, why do you want to learn algebra? He's like, well, I've already learned about, like, adding and subtracting. Like I'm ready to move on. Like, I'm ready to move on to the bigger stuff. And I was like, hey, man, like, that's all good. That's all great. But before you can, like, you know, progress, you must understand, like, the basics, right? You must understand, like, the foundation which everything is built upon. And, of course, he didn't listen to me, and then he turned on Paw Patrol and then moved on. So, But I find that interesting. Sometimes I think as Christians, we can kind of have that same approach when it comes to God. I think for a lot of us, when we think about Christianity, that the first thing that comes to our mind is like God saves, which is awesome, which is wonderful, which is essential, right? Right? But for many of us, we learn things and then we're just ready to move on from those things and be done with them, right? But here's what we're going to read today, and here's what we're going to learn about the lesson that we find in Ephesians, right? And here's the lesson that Paul, the writer of this letter, wants you and I to always be reminded of this great truth. And I've said it already, and I'll say it again, that God is merciful. That God is merciful. And here's why we're going to keep talking about mercy. And this is so true for each Christian in the room today. No one outgrows their need for mercy. That's what Paul is talking about it again. That's why we're here speaking about mercy over and over again, because no one ever outgrows their need for God's grace and God's mercy, right? If we lose sight of God's grace, we lose sight of everything that is built upon it. Who we are and who God has called us to be and what is the church and ultimately who Christ is, right? See, grace and mercy, it isn't something we graduate from. It's the foundation we continue to build upon. Grace isn't something we just graduate from. It's the foundation which we build everything upon. Because here's the one thing that we're going to realize. The deeper you grow in Christ, the more amazed you become with his grace. With his grace. And the more amazed you become by his grace, the more you treasure what grace has accomplished for you. So that's why we're doing this. We're going to be anchoring back into the grace and the mercy of God over and over again, because no one outgrows their need for grace. So here we are in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul opened up talking about, you know, God making people alive. You were with us last week. We had talked about how God himself takes the initiative and he brings dead people to life. In a spiritual sense, he brings dead people to life and he raises them up and he gives them a new life. And Paul centers this whole argument again on mercy, right? Again on mercy. And guess what? He's going to continue that argument, but he's going to do it and shift it in a way that's going to help us to understand it and walk in it more and more. And he starts with it in verse 11. Look at what he says. Verse 11. Look at it again. He says, therefore, Paul's continuing what he said last week. Paul says, therefore, remember that formerly, if you were with us last week, we talked about Paul using past tense language, right? And there's purpose in that, right? Because he's speaking to Christians. He's talking to Christians about what was life like before Jesus. He wants them to be rooted. Hey, what was life like before God entered the picture, right? He's not doing it to shame them, but he's doing it in a way to build them. And look at what he says. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles, now to kind of give a little bit of context, Gentiles, that would be us, right? And what we got to understand is that Christianity is really a completion of Judaism, right? And so Judaism, right? Back in the day, there were Jews and then there were Gentiles. The Gentiles are just nothing but non-Jews, right? Spoiler alert, Jesus was Jewish, just to let everybody know, right? There were Jews and then there were non-Jews. And I'm going to go over the reason why this is important in just a little bit. But Paul's speaking to a particular group and he says, formerly you who are Gentiles in the flesh called uncircumcised by the so-called circumcision that is done by the body and not bound by the body by human hands. Remember that at the time you were separated from Christ. Remember at one time you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants and promises, without hope. and without God in the world. But, just like he did in verse 4, but now in Christ Jesus, you were once far away, have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Paul, he's using this language again. This is where I want to land with this. He's using past tense language for a purpose. Why? Because he wants you and I again to marvel at the grace that found us, at the grace that saved us. But he doesn't want us just to marvel in it. He wants us to rest in that reality as well. He wants us to rest that this mercy and grace, right, it found us, but also this grace and mercy never fails as well. See, here's what I want you to know. Paul isn't talking about grace and mercy because he doesn't have any more material to talk about. No, what Paul is trying to do, he's trying to help every believer. He's trying to help every believer and guard them from one essential danger that's to the Christian life. You want to know what's the threat to the Christian life? Forgetfulness. Anybody forgetful person? Anybody lose the remote 4 times last week? You're looking at your spouse. Don't do that. Don't do that. anybody lose their keys a couple times last week? Did a whole little, where's my phone? Where are my keys, right? Right, we have so many things on our minds. We have so many things dominating the day. We have so many things dominating our thoughts. And they're slowly but gradually pulling us from important things, right? And one of the great threats of the Christian life is that we tend to forget. See, we tend to forget that we are not as great as we think we are. We tend to forget that we have a past. I think we tend to forget we can be a little bit dirty. I think sometimes we tend to forget we're a little bit hypocritical more than we believe, and we like to admit. See, here's what Paul wants you to realize. When we forget that everything we have is a gift of God's mercy, we slowly begin to believe in this thing, I've earned everything that I have. And friends, can I tell you right now, one thing forgetfulness does, it leads to pride. It leads to pride, right? Every time Paul tells us to remember, right, he's trying to, again, marvel, help us to marvel at the grace of God, but also he's doing it so that we can guard ourselves from ourselves. So we can guard ourselves from ourselves. And he wants you to know, listen, friends, you got to keep reminding yourself, everything is because of God's grace. Every good that you have in your life traces its way all the way back to God's grace. Everything you delight in, everything that you love, it traces its way all the way back to God is merciful. What is looking at God's grace? What is being rooted in God's grace? Remember, grace is giving you what you don't deserve. Mercy is withholding what you do deserve. God, his grace is merciful, and his character is not just something that he gives. It is who he is. Now, and what does it mean for a Christian to not outgrow grace and mercy? Why is that? Because number one, right, God's grace reminds us that he is the source. He is the source, not us. You are not the source. See, we believe in this American dream, and this American dream is this: believe in yourself. And friends, can I just tell you, that's cool. It makes good for music, makes good for movies, but it doesn't work in my life. Because self is not enough. Self has weaknesses. Self has brokenness. Self has a hard time with this thing called control, restraint. Self can feel weak. But what mercy does by looking at God and telling ourselves and reminding ourselves, everything that I have is from God and given from the one who has been gracious to be merciful to me. What it does, it keeps my eyes off self so I can keep looking to God. Because you'll be tempted this week to trust in thyself. You'll be tempted this week to try to handle all of your brokenness and baggage on your own. on your own wisdom, on your own experience, on your own reputation. You know, I got this. You know what grace reminds us? I don't have it, but Jesus has it. But because mercy, what it does, it keeps my eyes off me, right? It keeps my eyes off me and more on God. When I first got into Bible college, I was taking classes online, and we had this project we had to do, and it was a partner project. And of course, you know, you had to partner with other, you know, students. And as I was partnering with them, you know, me as a good student, I did all my work early on. Right? Because I'm a guy who, I don't wait till the last minute, right, honey? No? All right, anyway, ushers, come get her. But you know, I was like, you know, I got all my work done, right? But there were some classmates that wanted to wait to the last minute. See, the project was due at 11:59 on Saturday. Again, these guys message us and tells us at 11:30 they haven't even gotten started on it. And I'm sitting there like, I did my part. I'm not helping you, right? And then next year, you know, they ended up getting to finish, whatever, and then we get the results back, and our professor is praising us. Oh, this was some of the best work. I really like what you did. I really like what you did. He didn't say anything about me. And I said, hey, what? I'm the one who did all the work. I did my part, right? Right? And I think deep down inside, one of the things that I've noticed, when I start losing sight of God, I start making life more about me. All right? I thought there was somebody clapping. That's just a baby. I'm going to say, amen, I'm preaching. Right? I think the one thing, one of our biggest problems in life is that when we lose sight of God's goodness and grace and mercy, we make much of ourselves. And we think too highly of ourselves. Because there's one thing you and I want, is that we want to feel appreciated. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. God, that's a fundamental a longing of the human soul. God gave us that. But sometimes we chase it to the point because it's the only way we're going to feel alive. Right? And I've noticed that I can be very reckless in that approach when I lose sight of God in my life. When I lose sight of God in my life. And what does the grace of God do? It helps us, it reminds us that He is the source of our lives. Number two. Now, this next one, you might go to another church after this. You ready? Grace, God's grace or God's mercy guards us against entitlement. Is the buzzword. You ready to pray and leave? Entitlement, right? My sons, as you know, as I told this story 1,000 times, and I'll tell it 1,000 times more, every time we go to the store, what do they always ask for? A toy. I told you that. And guess what they still do? They ask for a toy. I took my son yesterday to Walmart just to get a few things for a little party that we have today that we're going to. And you know what my son asked for? A shampoo. I'm like, shampoo? Like, what do you want shampoo? He's like, I need to wash my hair. Like, what are you talking about? You don't even brush your teeth. What do you mean you want to wash your hair now, right? Right? But in his mind, right, because he's always getting what he wants, he just assumes he's going to get what he wants. He just assumes, well, you know, mom and dad, right, I'm going to get what I want. And you know what he tried to do? You know what the little sucker tried to do to get the shampoo? He says, but I've been a good boy. I was good this week, right? And I want to say this as careful as possible because I don't want to offend anyone, but at the same time, I love you. Sometimes I think we treat our relationship with God as something that's transactional. Because I think in life, we think, well, if I do this, I deserve that. I'm a good person. I was nice to them this week. God, I didn't curse at my kids. Y'all laugh a little too hard, right? God, I read my Bible every day. I deserve this, I should get that. And then when problems come, we kind of like grow, we get a little confused. Like, wait a minute, God, I'm holding my end of the bargain. You need to do the same too, right? And there's a danger to that, right? There's a danger to that. And the danger is holding God up to who he said he never was. Right? And holding God up to a standard that he said he never was. Right? Because Christianity isn't to get something from God. Christianity is getting God himself. See, Christianity, it values the giver and it appreciates the gifts. It loves the giver more than it loves the gifts, right? And that's kind of what mercy, what it does more and more in our lives. It keeps us from thinking, because sometimes I can have a very entitled attitude, right? But I got to remind myself, and this is just every good gift that I have, it's not because I was a good boy. It's because I have a good father in heaven. It's not because I was so good and I just figured that life out, right? It's because grace found me, grace sustains me, and grace keeps me. See what Paul's doing here? He's trying to help you and I. What mercy does, it shapes how we walk with God. How we walk with God. And how do we walk with God? We walk with God humbly. Everything that I have today, man, it's not because I figured life out. It's because Jesus is just that good. It's just Jesus is that good in my life. But also, it doesn't just humble me. It keeps me, it helps me to be grateful. When was the last time, and I say this every time gratitude pops up in the sermon, when was the last time you thanked God? You have a lot of complaints to God. You're like this, Kathy. When was the last time you thanked God? God, thank you for the person sitting next to me. That they haven't walked away. God, thank you that I have keys that I can use to get into my home. Tomorrow I got a job that I can wake up to. Thank you, God. Thank you. See, what does mercy do? It keeps us humble and it keeps us grateful. Because everything that I have, because it comes from a good, good father. But I also believe mercy doesn't just change how we view God, right? See, grace doesn't just shape us spiritually. Grace also shapes us relationally. See, I believe this, that when we look more and more to God's grace, grace doesn't just change how we view God, but it also changes how we view others. Because I know there's one thing we all have in common in this room today. You ready? We all have annoying people in our lives. Y'all are really loud on that point. I'm saying all these core doctrinal truths, you're quiet, but I talk about annoying people. Amen, brother. Right? And I'm sitting right next to them. No. Keep moving, Logan. That's like 10, man. Right? Listen, what do I mean by that? We all got people in our lives we just try to keep our distance from. Yeah. When they walk into the room, right, our stomach drops. Right? And here's what grace does. Grace reminds me God loved me not because I was lovable, but because he's loving. And God was good even when I stunk. And because here's the fundamental truth about Christianity. The grace we receive, the mercy of God we receive, we ought to reflect as well too. Now that's hard. Because you know what I think? In order to get annoying people to change, I just have to tell them how dumb they are. Yeah, right? Come on now. You've been with me I think if I want people who are annoying to change, let me just tell them how annoying they are. But let me ask you a question. Is that how a loving father changes us? I believe when one comes to faith, God doesn't say, you are a stupid idiot and you don't listen. Now, that may be true, but God, you know what? God loves you into change. He loves you in the change. And the grace we receive ought to be the grace we reflect. Now, that's hard, because I get it. Grace doesn't mean I got to be friends with everybody. Grace just says, you know what? They need grace just as much as I needed grace. Right? They need grace just as much as I need grace. So Paul, he's anchoring us in this reality. Keep your eyes on grace. Because if you keep your eyes on grace, you keep your eyes on Jesus. And you keep your eyes off yourself. And when you keep your eyes on grace, you're not, it not only affects how you walk with God, it affects how you walk with others as well. And now Paul wants us to understand this reality as we read verses 1 to 3. I'm going to break these down for us in a little bit. Paul wants us to understand, because God is merciful, you belong to God. You belong to God. Look what he says in verses 1 and 3. Now, verses 1 and 3, he is speaking, like I said earlier, to a particular group of people. And I'm going to give a little history lesson, so don't check out. I promise you I'm going to get to the application soon. So Paul, again, is speaking to Gentiles and Jews, right? Now, there was a time in the in those days where Jews, as we see in the Old Testament, were the original chosen ones. God had chosen through Abraham, right, as we read in Genesis, through Abraham to bless a nation, right? And through one nation, God, right, made covenant promises and did all these great things and his great work and raised up great men and great women and all these great things, right? But God's ultimate plan was that he wasn't just going to save just a group of people. He was going to save all people. But what happened was the Jews, right, started to look down on the people who weren't Jew. That's what they started doing. And these were known as the Gentiles, right? They started looking down on them. They started to kind of see them as outsiders. And so Paul is talking to the ones who are outsiders, to the ones who that the Jews looked down upon, to the ones that the Jews felt that they were distinct from, right? See, what God intended to be a covenant distinction became a human barrier. And outsiders, they became unwelcome, and they were separated. And here's what I noticed as I study this passage. I think everyone knows what it's like to be an outsider. Am I right? I think fundamentally, everyone knows what it's like to be an outsider. Everyone knows what it's like to feel overlooked. Everyone knows what it's like to feel unwanted. Because I believe one of the deepest longings of the human heart is acceptance. It's one of the deepest longings of the human heart. It's acceptance. It's knowing that you are loved. It's knowing that, man, you don't have to be perfect. It's knowing that at the end of the day, you are just accepted. It is one of the human longings of the heart. We long for this day in and day out. But here's what Paul wants you to realize. The cross of Christ solves the human longing. The cross of Christ solves every human longing that we have. It reminds us, because of what he accomplished for those who believe in him, those who call upon him, those who trust in him, you now belong to God, which means this, your deepest identity is that you are a child of God, because those who called on him, those who received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. See, I believe this. Some of us, if we're not careful, we'll spend our entire lives trying to earn acceptance from others. See, I thought this was just true just for teenagers. But little did I realize the struggle that they have, even as adults, we have as well. Because I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you know this. And I just want to say this just to be honest. Not everybody likes me. I know. Isn't that crazy, Keith? Can you believe that? Well, have you seen me? I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to brag. Not everybody likes me. But here's the truth that here's the trap that I sometimes fall into. It's my job to get everybody to like me. And as soon as I kind of catch wind that there are people that may not be fond of me, I start to act different around them. I start to change around them. They call that putting on a front in front of other people. And I think it's my job to think that it's my job to get them to like me, to get them to accept me. But here's what I believe. One of the great things that as children of God that we got to realize, we don't work for acceptance. We live from acceptance. We've been accepted by your Father. There are people that are not going to like you. There are people that are going to turn away from you. But you don't live by the acceptance of others. You live because you've been accepted by your Heavenly Father. You live, you flourish by that truth. Friends, that is a truth we got to be so anchored in more and more, because that's the temptation we all fall into. How do I get my boss to like me? Right? How do I get the one who I hurt to like that? Not everybody's going to accept you, but you know who does? Your Father. Your Father in heaven, who knows you by name, who knows you and calls on you. And so Paul is speaking to a group of outsiders. He said, once you were outside, but Jesus brought you near. It is Jesus. Notice Paul always goes back to the cross. That's what you and I need to do. Paul talks about all these fundamental issues that were going on, that there was separation, that there was division, that there was hostility, but the cross changed it all. And that's where you and I, as followers of Jesus, we have to constantly anchor and point towards more and more is the cross. You want to find God's grace? You want to find God's love? You want to find God's hope? You want to find God's mercy? Go back to the cross. Keep looking to the cross. Keep looking to what Christ has accomplished for you and what he wants to accomplish in you as well. And that's what makes the church the church. See, Paul, what Paul is doing here, you can see something very beautiful. Paul is not only helping us to understand who we are, but he's also helping us to understand who God or where God has called us to be. And that's the church. Because Paul talks about that these two, Jews and Gentiles, they once were separate. But because of Jesus, again, the cross, the two who were separate are now one. Not that Jews are Gentiles and Gentiles are Jews, but they share this common identity. And this common identity is what unites them. And what's their identity? They are children of God. And that's what unites them. What is Paul doing? Paul is helping you and I to shape our understanding of the purpose of the church. Because here's the truth, friends. Because God is merciful, you are now, listen to what he says, because God is merciful, you now belong to his family. Because God is merciful, you now belong to his family. Paul is shaping how we see the church. See, a lot of people, they view church, a lot of people have a misconception of church. I had one guy come up to me and said, I don't go to church no more. Church is a bunch of hypocrites. I said, well, yeah, you're right. So is the gym. Do you still go to the gym? You know, so is the library. Do you go to the library? Yeah, of course. See, church is not united because there are perfect people. What unites us is that there's a perfect Savior named Jesus Christ. Right? If you come to church looking for a perfect pastor, I will help you point you to somewhere else. If you're looking for a place where you're looking for people who don't get it wrong, we will help you go to another place. But if you're looking for a place that would say, because of Christ, I am alive. I have been given a new life, but also not just given a new life. I've been given a new family. And we gather together. We gather together not because we are people who have nothing else to do, but because what Jesus has done for us. If that is what you're looking for, well, this is the place where that exists. Because church is meant to be a family. And God saves so that you belong to his family. What Paul is doing here, Paul is helping us to unravel what flowed or what was created through salvation. See, you got to remember, in salvation, God's great plan wasn't just to save people, but it was to save people so that they may gather together. Because every time we meet, friends, what are we doing? What are we doing effectively today? Just think about that. Because Sunday is just not another check on the box. I came to church so I can clear my conscience. No, when we gather, we are reminding ourselves the cross is effective and God is still at work. Because the church exists to make visible what Christ accomplished on the cross. And we're meant to be a family. If this is your first time here, man, you're not just walking into a place where, you know, we just want to, no, we want you to know that God has called you to his family, right? The church is a place where we don't just gather, but we gather around Jesus. We gather around Christ. And if you look across this room, we have many different people with many different stories and many different backgrounds. See, the goal of the church is not to create people who look the same. Not to create people who talk the same. It's not to create people who vote the same. Right? That's the goal of the church. The goal of the church is for people who have the same Savior, and that's Christ. Who have the same need, and that's mercy. And that's grace. Because you look across this room, there are black people. There are white people. There's my Espanoles. There are tall people like me. Why'd you laugh? There are all types. There are men. There are women. There are moms, dads, singles, all of that. And guess what unites us? A Savior. Think about it. You and I would have never met if it wasn't for Christ who met us first. We would never gather until Christ did his good work in us. See, Christ wasn't just saved, giving people new life. He was in calling people to a new family. Now, here's the thing, though. Not every family is perfect. You know that very well, right? But what makes a family healthy? Where forgiveness exists. Where sacrifice is valued. Where honesty and bearing up one another's burdens is present more and more. See, the church, it is meant to reflect God's purpose of community. Here's what I want you to know, friends, as we close. This is just not another event on the calendar. This is not just another day just to come to church. This is a day where Christ is exalted. And we get to behold the wonders of Jesus. Paul says that we are being built up. We are being built on the cornerstone. Here's why church is so fundamentally essential to the Christian life. Because a lot of people think that, well, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Paul would disagree with you. The church is essential because it helps us to keep Christ at the center of our lives. See, when we come up here and we gather, it's not just because we have nothing else better to do. It's because we want you to truly see that Jesus is enough. Because there are so many of you that are in this room today, you have brought so much of last week's burdens. You have brought so much of last week's pressure. You brought so much of last week's pain and hurt. And you're just looking for answers. And you're looking to see, does this all make sense? Is this going to get better? All of that. And we're inching towards just, okay, what's next in everything? In the church, we long to say that at the end of the day, what you ultimately need is the presence of Christ. More in your life. What we ultimately need is to connect with who Christ is and what Christ has done more and more. That's why the church, that's why we are where we are. That's why we are who we are. It's to be found in Christ and to see that Christ is enough. Is Jesus enough today, friends? Is Christ in his wonderful goodness on the cross and all that he has accomplished and all that he has done, is Christ enough? Is he enough to be the Lord of your life? Is he enough to lay down your own life so that you can follow him? Is he enough? And Paul wants us to be anchored in that Christ is enough. His mercy is unending, and his mercy never changes. And that's where life ultimately is found. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that today and for our lives, we can learn what it means to behold Jesus Christ, to have him to become the deepest affection of our hearts, the greatest attention, our greatest adoration, that we would see mercy not as just something you did, but it is something you continuously give in our lives. Help us to be anchored in that reality. Help us to be people who not just receive mercy, but who can reflect it as well. I pray that we can be people who are reminded that we belong to you, that our ultimate, deepest identity is being a child of God. And I pray that great truth that Christ has given to us, I pray that great truth would guide all of who we are and what we do. We guide all of who we become and who you create us to be. I pray that, Lord, as a church, we would never forget the wonders of the great cornerstone, Jesus Christ. That everything is built upon him. Everything is built upon who he is and what he has done. And help us today to say to ourselves, Christ is enough. Jesus is worthy. All I need is Christ. Bless us, I pray. Help us, I pray. It's in your son's perfect and wonderful name. Amen.